Maybe they're even out of the house with children of their own, but you're still their mom. You still have responsibilities to your children, even if you're no longer responsible for them. I believe you too need to hear that it's worth it. And it's not good enough to just hear it from a friend. It's helpful when a friend comes along and says, "I loved mothering. It's worth every sacrifice." It's helpful, but it's not enough. You need to hear it from God. You need to hear that it's worth it with the authority of the Word of the living God standing behind it. And that's why we're going to read Galatians 6, 7 through 10 under this title, "Hold on for the harvest." Hold on for the harvest. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank you for the moms here and for the moms that have raised us. Some are here and many are not. And those that aren't here, especially those aren't here on earth, we miss painfully. But we thank you for them. They are a gift from you to us. And what a role they've had in our life. And I pray, Father, that you would give us strength now, especially for the moms among us, to hold on for the harvest. But I pray that not just for moms, but for all of us. Because this Galatians 6 isn't just for moms. It's for all of us, that we would hold on for the harvest. So I pray that for each and every heart here, but especially for those moms that are laboring at home. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. To see what God is saying here in Galatians 6, it will be helpful to divide the passage up into three parts: a warning, a calling, and a promise. A warning, a calling, and a promise. The warning can be sobering. The calling can be tiring. But the promise makes it all worthwhile. First, the warning. God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. Verses 7 and 8, God will not be mocked. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So the Apostle Paul warns us, God will not be mocked. Now by that he means that no one gets away with mocking God. I mean, you could do that right now if you wanted. You could mock God. You could thumb your nose at him right now, or make the donkey ears at God. Okay, that you could do that. When it says God cannot be mocked, doesn't mean that people don't try. It means you won't get away with it. You can't sneak around behind God's back. Paul says, do not be fooled. God will not be mocked. God will not be made a fool of. God will not allow anyone to get away with anything. There will be consequences. That's the point of verse 7. Our earthly actions will have eternal consequences. Our earthly actions have eternal consequences. Do not be deceived, he says. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So we got an agricultural metaphor going on here, right? It's Mother's Day. We got lots of flowers. We got lots of seeds, right? You sow a seed into the ground. Then you wait, right? Rain and sun, rain and sun. We had both those this week, didn't we? And what comes at the end of all that? Harvest, right? This is sowing season right now in May, right? Anybody got their garden in already? No. A couple of us are thinking about it, right? We're getting ready for putting in the garden. Now, what you sow, you reap. If you put in barley, you get barley. If you put in corn, you get corn. If you put in thorns, you get thorns. If you put in tomatoes, bring them over to my place. Love tomatoes. God has set up the moral universe in the same way. There are consequences for our actions and our attitudes. Our earthly actions will have eternal consequences. Guaranteed. Now, here's the key. It may not seem like it. It may seem like someone is getting away with something. Does it ever seem like someone's getting away with something in our world? But we have to remember, there's always a time period between the planting and the harvesting. There's a time period between the planting and the harvesting. And God says that the harvest will come no matter what. Our earthly actions will have eternal consequences. Guaranteed. Verse 8 describes those two choices. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There's only two choices, and it's whatever you sowed is what you reap. Actions born of flesh will reap corruption. Actions born of faith will reap life. Pretty simple, isn't it? Actions born of flesh will reap corruption. Actions born of faith will reap life. Now, why do I say flesh? That's the word behind sinful nature in verse 8. It's the Greek word sarx, which here refers to our old fallen self that loves to justify itself with good works and indulge itself with forbidden pleasures. Actions that are born of the flesh, or as verse 8 says, sown to please the sinful nature, will reap the harvest of corruption or destruction, guaranteed. Don't deceive yourself by thinking you can get away with it. However, actions born of faith, why do I say faith? Verse 8 says, sown to please the Spirit. What pleases the Spirit? Faith does. Actions born of faith, pleasing to the Spirit, will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Now, actually, the words to please are not in the original Greek. I see Pastor Dave Young back there, and I needed to work in a little Greek for him this morning. Okay? They are added in to help us to understand, in English, what he's saying. The King James has it very literal here. It says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So the flesh and the Spirit are the fields that are sown into. To the one who puts his grain, his faith, his pleasures, his work, into the field of the flesh, he'll get corruption, destruction, and death. To the one who puts his grain, his faith, his pleasures, his work, into the field of the Spirit, he will of the Spirit reap eternal life and blessedness. Now, hear me on this. It's genuine believers who sow to the Spirit. That's what they do. They have faith in Christ alone. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. And so they exercise that faith by sowing to please the Spirit, and they reap eternal life. It's not saying you can earn eternal life by sowing the right seeds. It's saying that you will sow the right seeds if you have eternal life, and it will, if you have faith, and it will reap eternal life. Unbelievers and fake believers sow to the flesh. They have faith in themselves, and so they exercise that faith by sowing to please the sinful nature, and they reap eternal death. So those are our two choices, life of flesh or life of faith. And there are eternal consequences for our earthly choices, guaranteed. Don't fool yourself into thinking anything else. God will not be mocked. So that's the warning. And you're saying, what does this have to do with Mother's Day? It's very simple. If you're a mother, you're accountable to God. If you're a mother, you're accountable to God. So being a mother is not just something that you choose. It's something God chose for you. It's a calling. It's a sacred calling. And you will have to someday give an account for how you handled your calling. Calling. Is that a sobering thought for you this morning? It probably should be. Many, many mothers in America have thrown away their sacred calling to sow seeds of pleasure for their flesh. And God will not be mocked. there will be a reckoning. If you are a mother, you are accountable to God for the discharging of your sacred duties. God is watching. He's not too busy over in the Ukraine or in Syria to attend to your parenting. God is evaluating your mothering of your children. And He's asking, are you sowing grain to please the Spirit in the life of your children? That's what Christian mothers do. But those who throw away their grain in the desires of their flesh will reap destruction because God will not be mocked. Do you see your job as a mother as being one of the most important jobs in the universe? It is. Mothering, especially the at-home variety, is often perceived as a second-class job in our culture. But the instilling of Christian concepts, values, and principles from the earliest age while providing a protective, nurturing, disciplining, training environment is one of the greatest callings that God has ever bestowed on human beings. And that's what Christian mothering is. It's a great calling. And with every great calling comes great accountability. In the movies and in the comic books, Spider-Man, you knew you'd hear about Spider-Man, it's Mother's Day, right? Spider-Man learned that with great power comes great responsibility, right? Well, that's true in real life too. With every great calling comes great accountability. If you're a mother, you're accountable to God. He gave you those children. It matters very much what you do to them, do with them. You're accountable to God because you have a great calling. And that's the second division of our passage. God calls us to do good and to not give up doing good. Look at verses 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So the call of God on us is to do good. That's what we just read, verse 10. Let us do good to all people, especially to the church. The call of God on all of us is to do good. This isn't just moms, right? In the context, verse 1 is a call to do good to those who are caught in a sin. Verse 2, it's a call to carry each other's burdens. Up to verse 6, it's a call to do good to those who teach the Word of God by sharing all good things. The call of God on all of us, not just moms, is to do good, and lots of it. Well, when you live with a little one that you gave birth to, you'll have lots of opportunity to do good to them. Cook, clean, feed, train, wipe, forgive, dress, undress, spank, coach, coax, lift, push, pull, carry, repeat. And that's just the first hour of the morning. Many prayers, conferences with teachers, little league games, soccer tournaments, doctor's appointments, bills, bills, bills. God calls moms to do good to their children. Now, of course, that sounds obvious when we say it, right? I mean, we're not going to do bad to our children. We don't think that. But it's very tempting to not live like that. It's very tempting to live for ourselves and not give ourselves away in service to our children. Did you hear that promise that Todd and Heather made to God for Landon today? One of the promises they made was to serve their children, to serve Landon, and not to use him. I remember when I first heard that promise, and I said, oh yeah, that's Christian parenting. It's easy to use our children for prestige. See what my kid did? Or to live our unmet dreams through them. Or to ship them off for someone else's hands, into someone else's hands, so that we can chase after our dreams. But God calls us to serve them, to love them, to do what's best for them, no matter what the personal sacrifice, to do good to them. and to not give up doing good to them. Verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. Do not give up. Hold on. Keep doing good. Don't give up or give in. Keep your shoulder to the wheel. Keep on doing good. I think that's where many mothers fail. They start out excited about being a mom, but when the going gets tough, and it will get tough, they can buckle and bail. If not physically or financially, emotionally, spiritually. But God is saying, mothers, don't jump ship. Keep your hands to the rudder. Keep that sail up. Keep doing good to your children. Keep doing good to your children. Keep doing good to your children. Don't run. Don't hide. Do good and hold on. A number of years ago, I grew weary of doing good as a pastor. This verse is about all doing good, especially in the church. I just got tired of doing what was right in a few relationships that were difficult. And at that time, God engraved this verse on my soul, and it became my biggest prayer request. Do not grow weary of doing good, King James. Let us not be weary in well-doing. At that time, I had to make a list of people to whom I needed to apologize. It was several people long. People that I had failed as their pastor in some way. Some of you were on that list. Hopefully you don't even remember this interaction. But I had just kind of given up on those situations. And God said, Matt, do not grow weary in well-doing. It took me several months, almost a year, to apologize to everyone on that list. But by God's grace I did, and I felt an incredible freedom. God is calling all of us, not just mothers, to do good and keep on doing good, even if it hurts, especially if it hurts. I think the call of motherhood is a call of pain. It's leaning into suffering for the sake of these, our children. Especially if you're the mother of a prodigal. Some of you may have children who are not living like you taught them to. Do not give up now on being their mother. Pray for them. Love them. Advise them. Do good to them. Keep on keeping on. God is calling us to do good and not to give up doing good, to hold on for the harvest. Now that's the promise of this passage, and it makes all of those heavy things I just said worthwhile. Listen to verse 9 again. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's the promise. God promises a great harvest to those who hold on. I love that word harvest. It's a glorious word. It's a word that says, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Heather Joy, it's worth it. Heather Dobo, it's worth it. Moms here, it's worth it. Dads, grandparents, singles, aunts, uncles, Sunday school teachers, Christians, it's worth it. Doing good to please the Spirit in whatever sphere of life God places you in is worth it. It may not feel like it now, but that's because it's not harvest time yet. There's always a delay between planting and harvest. But God says in verse 9 that the harvest is coming. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest. At the proper time. Not too early, not too late, not necessarily when we want it, but right on time, we will reap a harvest. King James Version says, in due season. When harvesting season comes, we will reap the benefits of our doing good. So is that legalism? Only if we think we're earning those blessings by doing the good, and we aren't. We can't. We must do all of this in the power of the Holy Spirit and by faith in His grace. but we must do it. And if we do, if we hold on, we'll see the harvest. Isn't that a glorious promise? Do you get a mental picture? When I say the word harvest, it's not just all those tomatoes you're going to bring over to my house. Right? It's barns that are bursting with grain, right? Whatever you've been investing in, it's that investment paying off. God guarantees the harvest, and He asks us to sow for it and to hold on until it comes. Does that mean that mothering becomes easy? Not easy, but probably easier if we can see the end in our minds as we contemplate the harvest. Does this mean that all prodigals will come home? No. God allows some prodigals to never return. But it does mean that mothers of prodigals will see why they had to go through all that pain. And they will hear the father of all prodigals welcome them to heaven with a "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." God promises a great harvest to those who hold on to doing good. Some of that harvest will actually happen in this life. In many cases, you will see your children grow up. You will see the results of your labors. You'll see the self-discipline that you were trying to build into your sons and daughters with your efforts at discipline. You will see the faith that you were trying to instill with all those family devotions at bedtime. You'll see the fruit of your secret prayers for your children, daily asking for their salvation, for their sanctification, for their joy in Christ. In many cases, you will meet the spouse that you've been praying for them since before they were even born. In many cases, we will get to see portions of the harvest in this life. But the greatest portion is in the next life. When we enjoy the rewards of our faithfulness here, when we get crowns for trusting in the promises of God and being obedient, when we gain the ability to know God without the distorting damage of our sin, when we see Christ face to face and hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master," at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Yesterday we honored Beatrice Johnson at her memorial service for how she hung on in faith. Today is Bee's 92nd birthday. She gets to spend it in heaven. How many decades of faithfulness? How many decades did she hold on to faith? Single lady, spiritual mother to many of us here. Did she, as a Christian, how many decades did she sow to the Spirit? Was it always easy? Did she hold on? And now she's reaping eternal life. And yesterday at her memorial, we sang, "It was worth it all. It was worth it all." It's worth it. Hold on. Fathers, grandparents, singles, children, youth, and especially today, mothers, let's hold on and do good to those God has put in our lives. Let's sow the grain of goodness pleasing to the Spirit into their lives and anticipate the great harvest that will come in due season.